Good evening. It's good to be with you. We begin tonight in Ukraine with late-breaking news of a counteroffensive. Ukrainian officials say they've made major gains against Russian forces in the northeastern part of the country. If these advances hold, it could mark the greatest strategic shift since Russia pulled its forces from Kyiv months ago. Nick Schifrin has our report from Kyiv.
Ukraine's anthem is titled Ukraine Has Not Yet Perished, and today, after more than 6 months of occupation, the blue and gold flies again in Balaklia. Relieved residents embrace their liberators and offer the Ukrainian soldiers pancakes for unshackling them from Russian oppression. In the wake of Ukraine's success, Russian forces leave behind devastation. The gains are the war's most dramatic events in months. Ukraine liberated dozens of towns in the Kharkiv region, including Kupiansk, a key railway hub supplying Russia's front line, and have now entered Izyum, a critical Russian military and logistics stronghold.
Liberation of our territories is significant, and we are going to liberate all temporarily occupied territories.
Ukrainian Minister of Defense Oleksiy Reznikov told me at the Yalta European Strategy Conference that Ukrainian forces recaptured 500 square miles.
We will cut their logistics, and after that they became weaker and weaker and weaker, and they will run away army.
Today, the Russian Defense Ministry acknowledged their troops pulled back. Russia still controls a large amount of Ukrainian land, but tonight Ukraine vows to march on and seize even more of its own territory. For PBS News Weekend, I'm Nick Schifrin in Kyiv.
And in the UK today, an ancient rite was ushered into a new era. Charles III was publicly proclaimed king earlier today in a ceremony not held since 1952 and televised for the first time ever.
Three cheers for His Majesty the King! Hip hip!
Hooray!
Hip hip!
Hooray!
Hip hip!
Hooray!
With the stroke of a pen, surrounded by his son, Prince William, and his wife, Queen Consort Camilla, King Charles III signed his oath as the new monarch. Later, at Windsor Castle, the royal children greeted tens of thousands of well-wishers and viewed the many tributes to Queen Elizabeth II. And at Balmoral Castle, the summer retreat where she died, others lined up to honor the late queen by laying bouquets. The late queen's coffin will be taken from Balmoral tomorrow. She will lie in state at Westminster Hall of Parliament starting Wednesday, and her state funeral will take place on Monday, September 19th at Westminster Abbey. Back here in the U.S., the Justice Department and former President Donald Trump's legal team have each proposed two candidates to serve as an independent arbiter to comb through what was found at Mr. Trump's Florida property last month. Lawyers for the former president want the special master to review all the recovered documents, but the Justice Department says classified records should be off limits. And at the U.S. Open, Carlos Alcaraz and American Francis Tiafoe both made their major semifinal debuts in a raucous match that had spectators on their feet. Alcaraz prevailed and will face Norwegian Casper Ruud in the final. Tiafoe would have been the first American man to reach the U.S. Open final in 16 years. He was already the first black American man to reach the semis since 1972. And in the women's final, Tunisian Ange Jabeur has a shot at her first Grand Slam title against top-ranked Iga Swiatek. Jabeur would be the first African woman to win the U.S. Open. And still to come on PBS News Weekend, the historic unforgiving heat gripping the West, and singer Santa Gold on her career and the issues that inspire her.
This is PBS News Weekend from WETA Studios in Washington, home of the PBS NewsHour, weeknights on PBS.